Hey everyone, and welcome back to the So Rude podcast. My name is Paige Ruderman, and I hope you're having a great day. On today's episode, I wanted to talk about things not to do in a writing room. And I'll preface this in parentheses with me, because of course, people can have different styles. But I believe in my personal experience and discussions I've had with friends that the recommendations I'm going to make are across the board with some other people as well. But like I said, there are things that I particularly don't like. And just like there's 98 Ben and Jerry flavors, you might prefer something else. So to kick it off, I'll start with the very first one, which is not sharing with the room. I find it so challenging when you're in a room, you're about to write a song, and the whole goal is to kind of build a safe space that people feel comfortable sharing their opinions or their thoughts or their emotions and their feelings, and someone is doing all of the calculations in their head. You might try throwing out a line, or you're trying to build some concept, and the person feels like they need to do all the work in their brain before kind of spitting it out. I find that very challenging for a few reasons. The first is you're sitting in silence. A little silence is okay, but I feel like a lot of silence can get awkward really quick. Two, I think it makes it hard to figure out like what role everyone's playing, especially if this is a new write. In what way am I showing up? In what way am I bringing value? What are you looking from me? And so it's really hard to gauge what that looks like or what puzzle piece you're trying to fit if the person isn't like working with you. You know what I mean? Like, work with me here. I think the other thing that I find so challenging is in that particular circumstance, it reminds me of baseball and not volleyball. And I'll talk you through what I mean by that. In baseball, there's a pitcher and there's a batter. And the pitcher basically throws something and the batter either hits it or he doesn't hit it. There are other players on the team, but like for the most part, the entire action starts and ends with the pitcher throwing the ball, and either is the ball hit or is the ball missed, then it's over. And then you have to restart. Versus in volleyball, it's this volleying back and forth. So one person serves the ball and then the other team volleys it back, and maybe it goes to a new person and then they volley it back and it goes to another new person, and you kind of go back and forth, and then finally someone will either spike the ball down or someone drops the ball and like a point is made. But the fun thing about volleyball is more of the team gets to participate. I mean, I've never played volleyball a day in my life besides gym class in high school, but how boring would it be to be standing on a team and it's basically two people on the volleyball team going back and forth? I would imagine that's extremely boring. The excitement of the game comes from the back and forth, and what's going to happen, right? Who's going to score? Who's going to make the cool play? Don't be a baseball player in the room. Don't just like sit there, come up, eventually get your pitch and then throw it. How did you get there? Like, what thought process were you taking? Walk me through where you were to where you are. It's a lot more fun, if we relate it to the sports metaphor, to play volleyball. Like, throw out a line you think is kind of cool. The other person in the room is going to be able to be like, oh, that's so interesting you said that. That made me think of this example. And then that makes the other person, you know, strengthen the metaphor or strengthen the thought. And eventually you're going to land on a really cool line. I think you'll get way more out of the room if you treat it like volleyball and not baseball. Piggybacking off of that, I want to say number two is don't interrupt physics. Kind of just like volleyball, where it's going back and forth, a momentum is created in the room. If we remind ourselves of Newton's laws of motion, which we all learned in physics class at one point, the first law says a body at rest will remain at rest, and a body in motion will remain in motion until it's acted upon by an external force. And do you want to know what the external force is? The external force is the word no. There's no qualifier. There's no discussion. It ends the point. But just like the person that was tossing out an idea was trying to generate momentum, they're trying to generate concepts, generate ideas, by someone just saying no all the time, all you're doing is stopping that law of motion. You're just stopping it right in its tracks. First off, if you just say no, it kind of creates a weird vibe. I'm not saying you can't come up with a better idea, or you might not want to continue to brainstorm. But can you say that? Can you be like, oh, that's really interesting. Let's write it down. Are there other things we could say here as well? Should we see what other options we have? Come up with some options and then decide based off what I'm looking at. It's an A-B test. Do I like A? Do I like B? Maybe there's even a C option if A nor B seems to be working here. But if you're someone that is just saying no all the time, you're purposefully not trying to get in the groove, or you're just making it really hard to build a vibe, it's going to be a really uncomfortable write. And chances are, at least for myself, I'm not going to want to write with you again. And if I don't want to write with you again, and I would find I'm a pretty like easygoing, open person, chances are someone with a much more rigorous vetting system than me might also not want to write with you. And so just like keep that in your mind. Like, am I adding momentum to this room, or am I taking momentum away? The last thing you want to be is the person taking momentum out of the room, because songs are all about getting to the finish line. Like, there's no point in having a really awesome line that just sits there on the page and it never gets to live a life, because it never gets to fit in the larger structure. And if you're always saying no, you're never going to finish that song. Or if you do, chances are the person, if you weren't the artist in the room, the artist in the room isn't going to want to write that song. So especially if you're coming from a writer's perspective, it's really important for you to find a new way to say no that's not interrupting the vibe and it's not making people feel uncomfortable. My third one is a really big pet peeve, and it's texting on your phone or being distracted in the room. I want to preface this by saying I understand it happens. If someone's calling you, or like you desperately need to respond to that text message, just be like, hey, I need to go to the bathroom, leave the room. Or, hey, I'm getting this important phone call. I've said this before. I've been waiting on this phone call for hours for this person to get back to me. Excuse me while I step out of the room for a few moments. I'm going to use the bathroom. That's an understandable reason to be distracted or to like text on your phone. But if you're just sitting there texting other people, first off, it's going to make the other people in the room feel like you don't respect their time. Like, they took time to show up to write with you today. And so it's just very disrespectful to them, but it also makes them feel like you don't care. Oh, if you don't want to be writing with me, then like, why are you here? You know? But I'll give you a scientific reason of why I think it's really important to not text on your phone. The point is that people are not able to successfully multitask. I don't care how many jobs you see multitasking listed on the job description. It has been scientifically proven that people are not able to successfully multitask. And on average, it takes 15 minutes to get back to the point that you were at before you stop doing what you're doing. So if you're working on task A, we'll call it the writing portion, and you are interrupted for task B, which we'll call the texting, the phone call, whatever, responding to an email, like an Instagram DM, like literally a million and one things you could find yourself distracted by. It's going to take you on average 15 minutes to get back to the point you were at before you looked away. And if we think about a traditional co-write, it's what, around 3 hours, anywhere from 2 to 4 hours long, unless you're a little bit crazy. My brain doesn't function after 3 hours of working on the same task. Then it's like continuously restarted. You're continuously going back to the starting line. It's going to take you forever to finish that song. And if you do successfully finish that song, there's a good chance it would not be as strong as it would have been if you didn't stop what you're doing and having to constantly refocus. Again, that kind of relates to our number two about laws in motion. Like, the song momentum has been building. You're just interrupting it. You're stopping it by the external force. And then you got to get back to what you're doing. So don't text on your phone. If you desperately need to respond to something, just go to the bathroom and take your phone with you, or like step out in the hallway. I think people would be happier that you did that than just sitting there in front of them, making them feel like you don't respect them. Number four. Okay, this one might just be me, but from what I've heard from my friends, I believe this is a common sentiment. It's not a great idea to invite a third or a fourth or a multiple in the final hour. Typically, you schedule a write with someone. I like doing duo writes. I like doing three-way writes if it's like a really good three-way pair, but like traditionally I like writing one-on-one. I've heard it's very common, and I've experienced this myself. The other person will ask, hey, can I invite so-and-so, or do you want to bring in a third, or do you want to bring in a fourth? And traditionally at the last minute, like not very often, every once in a while they'll ask from the start, but like sometimes they even just show up with an extra person. I'll tell you my personal opinion. I think the people that are bringing in third or fourths traditionally can't get the job done. Like if you feel compelled to bring in a third person or a fourth person, do you not think that you and the other person can get the job done? And like I've proven to myself in all of the writes and all of the songs that I've written, like I can sit in a room with somebody else and we can finish a song. Now there are going to be like better songs than other songs, but like you're going to finish it, you know, if both people are bringing their A game. So to me, it's like if you're feeling compelled to invite a third or a fourth, like what's wrong with either you or the dynamic that you think you can't get it done? Again, it's not to say like you might know two really awesome people, like you can know a really great guitarist and then a really great melody person, and then you come in with the lyric and then you kind of have this like perfect trio. But I would say more often than not, it's not a perfect trio and they're just bringing in a random third just because. If you don't really know what roles you all are going to play in the room, to me, I feel like it just gets messy. Again, that's just me. This is back to the Paige Ruderman flavor. That's just my opinion. I think it's really important that if you are going to bring in a third, maybe lead with that ask. Tell the person, hey, so I know in our past writes, or I know from what I've seen online, that you are really awesome at melody. I think I'm really good at this, but we need someone to fill in this third part. I know so-and-so, would you be open to me bringing them in on our write? I just think that that goes over so much stronger when you explain your reasoning. For everyone's sake, don't just bring someone. Don't just like show up with another person. Typically, it throws off the other person and it creates a really uncomfortable vibe in the room. Take it with a grain of salt. That's my personal warning. Do what you want to do, but like, I don't appreciate it. My very last tip for this episode is showing up to the right when you're not in the right headspace to write music. I get it. We all have experiences throughout the day that changed the vibe, like someone cuts you off. Maybe you had a mean experience with a coworker that day and it just like, or like maybe you woke up and it's the anniversary of something that's really upsetting for you. And that's okay. We are human. Like that happens. But if you're not in the right headspace to write, I would say more often than not, it's going to waste time. So now you and that person had something on the calendar. They were looking forward to coming in and being productive, and maybe you're not able to be productive to the same level you would have been. It makes the other person feel like you've kind of wasted their time. Like, hey, I reserved this spot for you, thinking we were going to be able to do something during this time. Like, clearly it's not an opportunity to do that. Sometimes both parties walk away frustrated because either the person doesn't feel like they respected their time, or the person who was not in the right headspace. Like, sometimes we're in a more vulnerable place. I would say you don't have to cancel the write, but maybe you repurpose the write. Maybe that's a great opportunity to review old writes that you had and tweak lines, or to discuss plans for how you want to release a song or who you want to pitch songs to. Or if you don't have clean work tapes, get your clean work. Oh my God. If you don't get a clean work tape, a lot of the time in the first write, you're not going to get it. Like I've had that experience where I have songs that I've written that the person was going to get the work tape for it, and I've yet to get it. And like, chances are I'm probably not going to get it. That's a great opportunity to use that time to be like, let's get work tapes for anything we don't have, or a cleaner work tape, or we tweaked this line, so let's get a new work tape. It's like, don't force yourself to be creative when you're not at a point to be creative, but it doesn't mean you can't be productive. Recognize where you are and take advantage of the time that you already have reserved. Or if you really feel like it's not going to work and you know this ahead of time, give the person a heads up. Say, hey, something happened, whatever it is, whatever you feel comfortable sharing, can we please reschedule this? I don't think I could be productive today. now gives that person a chance to contact somebody else and say, you know, we all get approached by people that want to write with us or want to meet up. And it's like, well, I would much rather know in advance so I could potentially reach out to that person and schedule something else than just be like, oh, you either didn't show up last minute or you showed up and it wasn't productive. It's like, let's kind of like avoid that scenario and give everyone an opportunity to regroup when it's a chance that we're going to be a lot more productive. Those are just 5 tips that I have found that if you consider them when you're going into your writes, there's a bigger chance you're going to walk out of there successful and people wanting to write with you again than not. Again, take it with a grain of salt. These are just my experiences, but if any of these tips work for you, please let me know. Also, if you have any tips for what you appreciate in a writing room, please reach out and let me know. You can follow me on Instagram if you're not already. That's at sorude.podcast. So at sorude.podcast. And I look forward to chatting with you guys next week. Best of luck with your writing, and I'll chat with you guys soon. Have a great day. Bye.